Of course, the answer is Catholics do not worship Mary. But the real question is, why do so many people think that we do? Well, the obvious answer is we pray to Mary, we have statues of Mary, and people have an image in their minds of a Catholic holding the rosary, kneeling in front of a statue of Mary and praying, which really doesn't happen, but it could. And so it's understandable that people would mistake devotion to Mary as worship. But another good question is, what is worship? How does God want to be worshiped? Is praying worship? Is singing songs of praise worship? Is going to church and listening to a really cool sermon worship? That's a good question. Is that the worship that God established through the Bible? No, it's not. Worship is offering sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God established a priestly, liturgical, sacrificial form of worship, but our God, the only true God, is so great that he came down from heaven, became man, and offered himself as that sacrifice, establishing the Eucharist, where the bread and wine become his body and blood. And the one sacrifice that happened once in time is offered to God through the Mass. And that's how God wants to be worshiped. That is true worship. The only thing that changed from the Old Testament form of worship to the New Testament form was the victim. But since Protestants have rejected the true form of worship, the only thing they have left to offer as worship is prayer and songs of praise. They see us doing that with Mary, and since it mirrors their form of worship, they assume that we're worshiping Mary. While, again, it's understandable that they would mistakenly assume that, in reality, they don't know what real worship is, and that's the problem. That's not to say that prayer and songs of praise can't be offered as worship. Of course they can, but they don't have to be worship. For instance, someone might go to a national monument and bow or kneel in respect, or bow and kneel before the Queen, or sing songs of praise to our country. That doesn't mean that we are worshiping our country or the Queen, and people understand that. The word pray means to make a request, or to ask a favor. Medieval documents from England before the Protestant Revolution confirm its original meaning. Court documents might say, the defendant prays to the court this or that. In reality, what we are doing when we, quote, pray to Mary or any other saint is asking them to pray for us, just like all Christians ask other Christians to pray for them. And guess what? Mary is a Christian. So Catholics are no more worshiping Mary when we, quote, pray to her than a Protestant would be worshiping their pastor or their congregation when they ask for prayers from them. Now, the scripture passage most commonly given to Catholics to show that praying to Mary is wrong is 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. The accusation being that by praying to Mary, we are somehow going around Jesus or cutting him out of the loop altogether, replacing Jesus, so to speak, with Mary, thus violating the unique mediation of Christ. But is asking another Christian to pray for you, which is all we're doing, violating the unique mediation of Christ with the Father, or trying to cut him out of the loop? No. In fact, all the verses before verse 5 in this chapter encourage it. First of all, then, I urge the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men. Here, Paul asks Timothy to pray for other people. So asking a fellow Christian to pray for something does not violate the unique mediation of Christ, nor is it trying to go around him or cut him out of the loop. And Christians understand this. It is understood that any prayers we ask of another Christian will go to Jesus. It is the same when we ask the Christians in heaven for prayers. Those prayers go to Jesus. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man, so asking another man or another human being to pray for you would not be violating it. And guess what? Mary falls under the category of man. Okay, but what about not talking to the dead? Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. The Bible is very clear. We are not to seek out mediums or spiritists or conjure the dead. So how is asking Mary to pray for you any different? When people go to mediums or use Ouija boards, they are seeking to communicate with the spirit in order to gain information about the afterlife or the future, or obtain some other hidden knowledge. This is a violation of the first commandment because it seeks information God does not allow us to have, and the person turns to another spirit rather than God. When we ask Mary or any other saint to pray for us, we are not seeking information. We do not expect a verbal response. Also, the saints in heaven are not dead. They are alive. Mark 12:27. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. Jesus, who never broke a commandment, and himself was fully human, and under the law, spoke to both Elijah and Moses. Moses had died, and Elijah was taken up to heaven, body and soul, just like Mary was. Matthew 17:1-3. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. We know the angels and saints in heaven are watching and are involved in our prayer life. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Revelation 5:8. And when they had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp, and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:3. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. We even have prayers to angels in the Bible. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word. Hearken to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Psalm 148:1. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Okay, but what about statues? The Bible is very clear. In Exodus 20:4, you shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. But here's the interesting thing about the Old Testament, and this goes for every Christian denomination. When something in the Old Testament verifies a person's doctrine, it's quoted as authoritative. But when it doesn't verify or even contradicts the doctrine, they say, well, that's the Old Testament. That was changed with Jesus. However, in this case, it happens to be true. We have been freed from the law, and not just the ceremonial law. Romans 7:2. Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law. Since we died with Christ through baptism, we have been released from the law. Notice adultery, one of the Ten Commandments, is given as an example of the law that we have been released from. Not to mention that one of the commandments says, keep the Sabbath holy. Well, that's Saturday, not Sunday. It was moved from Saturday to Sunday by the Catholic Church. Yet, virtually all Christians worship on Sunday, and no one says, hey, you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments, except for Adventists. But the spirit of the law remains. So as long as the person is not actually worshiping the statue or actually worshiping Mary, they are not guilty of breaking the law, because the spirit of the law is don't worship other gods. Besides, the commandment was never a complete prohibition against statues anyway, just worshiping them. Exodus 25:18. And you shall make two cherubim of gold, of hammered work shall you make them, and the two ends of the mercy seat. Numbers 21:8. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who was bitten, when he sees it, shall live. The Catholic position on statues was declared at the Second Council of Nicaea in 787 AD, which reads, therefore, it is proper to accord to them a fervent and reverent veneration, not, however, the veritable adoration which, according to our faith, belongs to the divine being alone. Okay, but why? Why pray to Mary and not just go to Jesus? Well, other than what we've already talked about concerning Christians praying for one another, it's not that you are going to Mary instead of Jesus. You are praying to Jesus with Mary, again, like every Christian does with a prayer partner. Also, the Bible says in James 5:16, pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Other than Jesus, there is no one more righteous than Mary. He will do things if she asks that he wouldn't otherwise do. We have an example of this in the Bible at the wedding at Cana. John 2:3, when the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what is that to me and to thee? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. As well, he gave her to us at the cross. John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. We are all the beloved disciples. The earliest Christians understood the special intercession of Mary. A prayer dated no later than 250 AD reads, beneath thy compassion we take refuge, O Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions in time of trouble, but rescue us from dangers, only pure one, only blessed one. We can establish that all the Catholic beliefs about Mary were there from the very beginning through the writings of the early church. The Immaculate Conception, her perpetual virginity, her divine motherhood, and her glorious Assumption. And yes, people have an icons of her, venerating her, and asking her to pray for them. We honor Mary in a special way because that's what Christ wants. He gave her to us as a special advocate. Far from being unchristian, if you're not taking advantage of her motherly love for you, you're missing out. You're not living the fullness of the Christian life that Jesus wants for us. You believe you have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I don't doubt that. But then, why hasn't he introduced you to his mother yet?